Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and the 2021 Football Association Challenge Cup winners too. And welcome to the Foss Arms with myself, Tim. And I had to fight my way in tonight. The Foss Arms is so busy these days. Got extra security on the door, a couple of XL bullies, heavily tattooed bouncer wearing no top as usual, and must speak to her about that killer.
I thought you were going to say that was Norm.
That would have kept them out. And good evening, Norm.
Good evening. I just whipped my wig off and you'll see it is actually me and not Doris the bouncer.
Well, when we get rid of the dogs at the end of the year, whenever they've got to go, then maybe Norm's going to be the solution for us. But for the moment, Norm, nice to have you both back after and desperately boring 2 weeks that we correctly forecast. But Norm, two defeats, now a victory. It's been very clear the player that's been letting us down all season, Harry Winks.
Yeah, it's been very disappointing, hasn't it? It was a relief to be able to pass the ball around without him and without all the mistakes he made and the amount of times he gives the ball away. So yes, you're right, Tim. It was a relief that he was suspended. But do you know something? I like beating Watford. I don't know why, but I
know why.
They've always annoyed me. I think it's a little bit because they're called the Stags and it's clearly a moose on their badge. But
aren't they the Hornets?
Oh, yeah, which makes
even more ridiculous.
So you actually hate Mansfield?
Yeah, exactly.
This is a weird show, isn't it?
I think it's because I live in Nottingham and the Mansfield miners stayed out on strike and the Nottingham ones went back. So therefore, I'm probably some kind of, even though I'm not a miner. Anyway, so
don't worry, edit that bit out, Tim.
We really need to start again, don't we?
Anyway, look, let me start. I like beating Watford and I think they've always just annoyed me a little bit, but I think this really stems from a Deeney day, you know, their glorious day when they Deeney scored that last minute winner when myself and Tim were actually in the Watford end, which is probably the lowest low you could almost feel at a football game, having seen a penalty missed and then everyone around you jumping crazily around. It wasn't nice. So
it was hideous.
So to beat them, it was good, and it was great to get back on track. And I think the game, it's like most games this season, wasn't it? It was, you know, we were clearly the better side. We were well on top, but everything was just a little bit too slow in the first half. Created some chances, couldn't put them away. Watford really should have been 1-0 up fairly early on. Their enormous centre forward, how he completely missed that, I'll never know. But they didn't score. They never really tested Hermansen throughout the entire game. But I felt myself getting a little bit frustrated again with, whilst dominating, just the speed of the play was just a little bit slower than I would like. And for once, I felt, come the second half, I thought we speeded things up. I thought we were just a little bit more urgent. It felt like we realised that we hadn't scored a goal for quite some time and we needed to do so. And I thought, whilst it took us until the 76th minute to actually get a goal, Vardy could have easily scored a couple before then. And I felt our general play and our build-up play was looking good. Mavadidi, I thought, had a really good game. I thought Choudhury was really, you know, really stepped up well with Winks being out. it was nice to have Ndidi back. And I thought that, you know, overall, the speed of our play put Watford under pressure. And it felt relentless. I think their manager came out and said, you know, they kept on giving the ball away. It was just like wave after wave of attack. And I started to enjoy watching it again, just because we had increased the pace a little bit. And, you know, Vardy, whilst missing a chance that he'd scored 99 times out of 100, he looked sharp again. It was a great sort of 35 minutes, you know, scored a couple of goals, looked back to his sort of annoying, irritable, quick, running around. I thought he made the real difference. So all in all, it was a very solid performance. I thought we should have won by a lot more, but just a couple of occasions where Watford had really good chances and on another day might have got an unbelievable draw out of the game, because they certainly didn't deserve anything. But as per usual, we did give up a couple of chances, which, again, we harp on about the Premier League. A Premier League striker would have scored, or even a Premier League defender, because it was their number five that was clean through at the, or had the chance at the end. And it's there's still cause for concern, as in we are still not finishing teams off as quickly as we probably ought to. But I felt this was the second half was the best I'd seen us play for quite some time. And I thought it was a thoroughly deserved victory and absolutely what we needed after the two 1-0 defeats before the international break. So it sets us up nicely now for the run into Christmas with there's a couple of easier games, a couple of difficult games, and then obviously Ipswich on Boxing Day. So I think it's set us up nicely. And with all the results going pretty well going for us, really, with regards to the teams that were started the day in the top six, it was a good weekend to be a Leicester fan.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? I was going to touch on that, Kid. I mean, it's if you win and everyone else wins, you're just moving along. But that weekend just couldn't have gone any better, could it? We couldn't have dreamed of that Ipswich, Leeds and Southampton dropping points. Just to pick up on something that Norm said, though, I saw an interview with Enzo, and he was asked, because the crowd were restless at halftime, and you know he was asked about that, and he went to answer pretty much saying, look, you know, this is how we play. We've got plan A. It's going to be plan A all day. We always score in the last 15 minutes, and he pretty much went to say, and if the crowd don't like it, they can. And then remembered that they're his paying customers.
Yeah, but it's an interesting one, isn't it? And this is where you get this balance in football between, as a fan, can you actually just be too greedy? Because we're top of the league, we're top of the pile, 3 points clear, we're 10 points clear of a third spot, we're about 17 points clear of seventh spot, so playoffs will be pretty much guaranteed by about Christmas. He's doing little wrong from that point of view, and the season's going really, really well. We've lost three games, but let's be honest, I think if you'd asked us at the beginning of the season how many games we'd have lost at this stage, well, number one, we probably wouldn't have said, but we'd have managed not to have drawn any. And we probably, in terms of defeats, might have said two or three. So I get where Enzo's coming from. We've said before, he makes odd decisions. And, you know, there doesn't appear to be a plan B that he's prepared to try at this stage. And, of course, because we're football fans, and we want to win and we want to play great football, and we want it to be pulsating for 90 minutes, we always have reason to criticise, of course. But the reality of it is, you kind of almost just got to let him carry on and get on with it. Because what he's doing is working, whether we like it or not. It's working. It's pedestrian. The first half was pedestrian. But on with Norm, I thought second half Leicester City were good. And, you know, Jamie Vardy has got his shooting boots on. That could have been three or four. And then maybe this conversation is very different, you know, in terms of we won 3-4-0, et cetera, et cetera. So it just feels at the minute that things are going really well. We're doing it the Enzo way. Everybody's singing that song, by the way. You know, we're playing football the Enzo way. You just got to let them get on with it, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's absolutely adamant that that it isn't going to change. And as we've alluded to before in this show, I think the time to be more concerned about that might be next season. But that's for another day. Just to pick
a couple. Norwich for details, isn't it? It's that, yeah. All those teams that we thought were going to be up there. You know, it was another bad result for Southampton and stuff. Would they swap places with Leicester right now? Hell yeah, for sure. The other interesting thing, by the way, Tim, is I've noticed as we start to move round to the January transfer window that there's a couple, I don't know if you guys have noticed, there's a couple of pretty big names who players that Man City have got their eye on. There's a centre-back at Liverpool who apparently might get loaned out to Leicester. I get the feeling that Enzo is going to be seen as being a very good manager to loan top player out. Top young player in terms of the development could go in our favour, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. We've got an email about transfers, which I'll come on to in a minute. But I just wanted to just touch on a couple of players, Norm. You sort of talked about Vardy, but I don't think I've ever seen him miss an easier chance. And then, boom, there's Mr. Reliable pops up with two goals. The second one would have been tricky for him, wouldn't it, against the centre-back in goal. But again, you know, for me, just reiterating that he is well ahead of Iheanacho and clearly Daka in the pecking order.
Yeah, I think Iheanacho struggled a little bit. Again, I don't think he played particularly badly, but he just didn't really offer much. But yeah, Vardy, he scored twice. He could have scored more. I mean, where I would disagree, Tim, is I don't think it was particularly difficult for him to score past the centre-half. I'm pretty sure it would have been harder for him to score past their goalkeeper. But it was a good... Yeah,
fair point. it was more if he missed.
Yeah, he wasn't gonna miss. I think he did the right thing. You know, hit it hard, didn't try to be clever, and... in it goes. And I think what was nice, well, apart from seeing him punch himself fairly hard in the face after he'd missed that chance, which obviously obviously knocked a bit of sense into him, because there he was for a poacher's finish for the first. Just, you know, you get given a penalty, you've got to put it away. The game was won by then. Watford weren't going to score, but he did the business. Again, if you look at his minutes per goal, whilst he's played in most games this season, he's only scored six goals, but his minutes per goal is something like, you know, 120, 125 minutes. So he's doing well, and as long as we can keep him fit, he's likely to be the difference. I think it's a little bit strange that, like, Tom Cannon's been obviously fit enough to be on the bench a couple of times. We've not even seen him yet. And yeah, particularly with the fact Iheanacho is a little bit off form, I'd probably quite like to see Vardy, like, for instance, at Chef Wednesday, it'd be nice to see Vardy start. And perhaps when Vardy's had his 60, 65 minutes, Cannon come on or Daka for a little bit of a run out, because hopefully we'll have got, you know, we'll be in the position where we're able to sort of try a couple more things against Chef Wednesday, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it's Vardy's great. Look, he's a legend, and he always will be, and he is more than good enough to score a hatful of goals in this division. And this might just be what spurs him on to his little runs, because he goes on them, doesn't he? He has runs where he doesn't score, and then he has those great runs when he can't miss. So let's hope it's the start of one of his positive runs.
Yeah, his second goal killer was actually his seventh, so he's well getting well close to the 13 goals for our mate in the pub to lose his life's fortune from a few weeks ago. The other one killer I wanted to ask you about, because we did raise our eyebrows about the length of contract that he was given, but perhaps that's why he went for Hamza in terms of a replacement for Harry Winks in this game.
Yeah, and look, Hamza Choudhury, I think, does a job at this level. And he does a job at this level because, number one, I think it is actually his level. And number two, because he's a very physical player and he's more likely to get away with things here than he's going to in the Premier League. Yeah. Certainly, I thought he really successfully broke up quite a bit of play, and he looks really solid. Questionable as to whether or not you would have ever offered Hamza Chowdhury that contract, given the fact we appear to be destined for the Premier League. I still think it's a bit of an odd one, but, you know, it is what it is. But there's no doubt I think Hamza's going to be an important player for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and, you know, summarising, that was a decent win. Watford were unbeaten in six before. So, yeah, it's good to chalk that one off and get a slightly, in principle, easier run of fixtures underway with a win. So we got a couple of emails in. I'm going to come on to the transfer one in a minute, but we talked about our dear friend Gareth a couple of weeks ago, and Gareth has emailed in, having said that he was going to he's not going to listen to the show anymore. So following, I'll read you his email.
Something else you've lied about.
Yeah, following on from my communication when I informed you I'd no longer be listening to your weekly drivel due to your newfound self-entitlement, I did in fact listen. and as a result of conducted as a result of conducted an extensive research program on a definitive factual list of all things that are officially entitled, see below. The first two or three political. I'm going to leave those out because the show tries to stay apolitical. But here we go. Very, very, very briefly. The British public school system, Kim Jong-un, Zsa Gabor, Zsa Binks, Max Verstappen, Christian Horner, Saturn's Rings, Swing Low, Twickenham, Nigel Farage, Will Carling, Arkan, the Dutch Coffee, Paris Hummus, Kino, Joan Collins, Donald Trump, Donald Duck, Swans Ducks, More Swans, Cliff Richard, Aperol Spritz, The White Company, The John Lewis Partnership, Cockapoos, Dubai, Scented Candles, Marlowe, The Great British Bake Off, Wax Jackets, Gilets, Woolly Hats with Ironic Bubbles, Austin Healey, Austin Healey's, Norm, Tim, and Killer. So, thank you, Gareth. That sort of abuse is fine as long as you do carry on listening. So, thank you very much for that. And our other email, another email I wanted to read out today, because I want to get your view on this one, guys. I'm going to start with you, Killer. This one's from Ali. Thanks for emailing in, Ali. Evening, gents. I'm still loving the show. I don't quite know how to take that. There's an implied threat in that, I think. It's almost like
it's not actually very good.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just enjoying the show for now.
You know. It's like my present wife.
That's right. Here's the dilemma. So he sent us in a dilemma, which he knows that we love dilemmas. So thank you, Ali, for this one. Right, Killer, come to you first. In the upcoming transfer window, it is rumoured that a major former player is coming back to Leicester and committing the rest of their playing career to the club. The rumour mill is circulating three names. Who do you want to return? A, N'Golo Kante, B, Riyad Mahrez, and C, Harry Maguire. All the best from Ali.
That's an interesting one. Look, I think that for me, the best player overall, the most influential who's ever played for the club is N'Golo Kante. Having said that, the technically, the best footballer, the most skillful, the best first touch. And frankly, because I'm getting old and fat and I don't know how long I've got left.
Harry Maguire. Chance
to see Riyad. Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? Actually, I watched the Man U game yesterday. He played really well. But Riyad Mahrez, I think it would be a...
So I think he's talking about now, Killer. So if one of these players was going to come back this January, so you've got to allow for their age and everything.
It's okay. Yeah, I did hear the question. You did understand. Thanks, Tim.
Sorry, over clarifying it. I do apologise. So you go Riyad Mahrez, yeah?
Yeah.
What about you, Norm?
100% Riyad Mahrez. I mean, we don't look, frankly, at the, you know, Maguire obviously is the one that would most likely be the one that would come back on loan or something. But of course, Mahrez can say, you know, we don't need a player that breaks up play. Maguire's a defender. We're fine for defenders. Mahrez, what he'd bring is just utter delight. And, you know, Mavididi on one wing and Mahrez on the other would be superb. So, of course, Riyad Mahrez. It'd be magic to see him in the Championship. He'd probably just give him the ball. And he'd certainly score more than 13 goals just on his own.
So, OK, quick question, Tim. We'll come back to you about the answer. But quick question. Imagine if we could have... You can choose any Leicester City player in their pomp to come into this current Leicester City team according to the demands of the team, who would be your player then? You can have it absolutely anyone that's ever donned the blue shirt. Probably steer away from Junior Lewis and Adi Akinbaye. But absolutely anyone. Think about that as well, Norm. You can have anybody.
Well, I can have two.
Yeah, go on.
Because, so it's in their pomp, so it's a different question to what Ali's asking. So I'm going to say Kante is one of them because I think he's the best player that we've ever had. And why
do we need him though? Yeah, above, say, across other options.
But looking forward into next year as well, who wouldn't want N'Golo Kante? The other one for right now, but also for next year, I'm going to say Lineker. I think it'd be great to have a finisher like that. He's got the pace that would fit superbly into this system. I'd go Lineker in that instance. What about you, Norm?
Okay, you can have two, Norm, to make it fair.
I think I'd go back to the late 90s and I think I'd have Lennon and Izzet.
That's not a bad show.
Why them?
Because they were like Lennon to like break up the play, the combative midfielder who'd fit beautifully in the championship, and Izzet to be that little bit of spark, you know, pushing forward as an attacking player. Remember when we had Izzet on loan from Chelsea the season we sneaked into the playoffs, he made the difference. And I think that kind of player is the player that we're actually missing. I suppose, having just thought about it, I'd probably say James Maddison as well. But I think it would be just that attacking spark that I just think we're lacking at the moment. And Lennon, just because Lennon and Izzet together were brilliant. So, yeah, I'll go for those two.
Great shout. What about you, Keller?
Yeah, okay. You see, if I think there's three key areas that we need real quality in next season. I think we need a top-quality centre-back, top-quality midfielder, top-quality striker. Quite agree with Norm. Maddison, for me, would be the midfielder. But actually, striker... I get the Lineker one, and that's a really good shout actually. But I'm gonna go with Emil Heskey because I thought he was brilliant for Leicester. I thought that robust, nobody could really quite live with him. And do you know what, centre back? This is controversial, but I just thought he was absolutely massively instrumental. Robert Hoove.
Yeah, he made a big difference to us, didn't he? At the time,
kept us up. He kept us up, and then he won the league.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
I'll give my answer to Ali. Ali, I'll give it. I'm going to make it 3 out of 3 because I'll go for Mahrez. But I tell you what, I do just wonder. I know Maguire's got himself back in the Man U team. If we do get promoted, I think he'd be ideal for us next year because he is a ball playing centre back, and I think we're going to need an upgrade on our current wonderful ball playing centre back. And I just wonder whether we have got a sniff of getting Harry Maguire back in the real world.
I don't know about you guys. I've never had a problem with Harry Maguire.
No, never. By the
way. You know, as far as I'm concerned, we bought him. We nicked him from somebody else. Somebody's come along, nicked him off us. We've taken big money for him. I think he's got loads and loads of bad press. I actually think he's a decent fella. And do you know, like I say, what I've been quietly impressed with his performances for Manchester United. Watched him play yesterday, looked very, very comfortable on the ball. And I wish the boy well, to be honest. I think there's a lot worse in the centre-back than Harry Maguire. A lot worse in the centre-back, a lot worse in the Premier League than Harry Maguire.
Yeah, I agree.
I couldn't agree more. I think a lot of this is that, you know, when we're talking about expectations, I think Manchester United fans are in a lot of them feel that they are not where they ought to be or should be. And I think in amongst of the many seasons of disappointment for them, players like Maguire come in, and just because Man United as a team aren't ripping up the Premier League, it's like they have to find someone to blame. At the end of the day, they're just not good enough at the moment. And it's not just Harry Maguire, it is their team. It is everybody at the club. They're just not. So, yeah, I think Maguire would be an absolutely great signing for Leicester. I've got absolutely nothing against him whatsoever. He's a great player and particularly great for England as well. So, yeah.
Fair point. Yeah, it might be pie in the sky that we'd have a chance of getting him back in the summer, but I'd I'd snap your hands off to get him back. I think a couple of weeks ago, I don't think we talked about the Everton deduction not quite happened when we last did the show. Is that right?
No, it hadn't happened.
Right, go on then, Norm. So here's how I feel about this Everton thing. Everton have been found guilty, rightly or wrongly. They have been found guilty. Yeah. The Premier League are obviously trying to show a robust hand to see off the potential forthcoming challenge of a football regulator. So, you know, we can assume that they are going to play hardball with Manchester City, with Chelsea, with other teams. So I don't have a problem with a 10-point deduction. They've been found guilty. I feel that you're in a civil court, that Leicester City are in a civil court. We've won the action and our payout has gone to someone else. And the someone else is this year's relegation fodder, Burnley, Luton and Sheffield United. And I think City should absolutely take all the legal action that they can. You know, we have for year after year after year sold our best player to meet FFP regulations. And, you know, I'm presuming, but from the Everton judgment and the 10 points norm, Everton have not done that. And, you know, I cannot find any possible way that that wouldn't have cost them 3 points last season.
No, I'm mainly with you. I mean, Everton are guilty. And what you said, rightly or wrongly, Everton have admitted the charges. So that's never in question. I think the key here is that what they're suggesting is that actually the money that they had was actually the overspend was stadium, is related to like stadium things, etc., not just the playing side. So I think the issue here is they're saying that they, and it's been, I think the result of the inquiry suggested there wasn't actually a sporting gain from this. So if there wasn't a sporting gain, a 10-point sporting penalty is quite harsh, but I find that the finances all get muddled up. I mean, it's almost like smoke and daggers, isn't it? So just because something's been spent somewhere, it probably means it hasn't been spent somewhere else. So my gut feeling is that they have rightly been given a points deduction. I think that all clubs sign up and agree how the rules work. And the rules, as up until certainly this season, were that there was an amount of time that you had to bring these cases or get decisions based on the points deductions. Now, it's fairly clear that actually these things should be done more quickly. So actually, it should have been last season. If Everton have done something wrong, it should have been last season where they had points deductions, which would have made a difference. But the rules are as such that it doesn't have to be like that. So I think that ultimately what's going to happen is, I don't think it will go to court. I would imagine there'll be an out-of-court settlement where Everton pay us, and it'll only be us, because how other teams can say they would have survived when it's only Everton and we were the third bottom side. I think it'll be us that'll end up getting given like 30, 40 million to sort of like, off you go. Look, there's some cash. Let's not go any further. You might win, you might lose. But I think it's right that we should get something, because it does leave a bitter taste in your mouth. And I find it rather annoying that Everton fans are grumbling about it when actually, had things happened like it ought to have been set up, even though it wasn't in the rules, it should be done quicker. They would have got these points last year and they would have been playing in the Championship. So I think they ought to be grateful, take the points, and they'll still stay up because, as you've said, relegation fodder. Well, I'm a bit loath to include Luton in that at the moment, because they seem to be doing all right. But it's quite likely that they could accept this punishment and still stay up. So, it's frustrating. But, you know, it's the rules. But if we get something out of it and we go straight back up, hey, we've had a year without VAR. Killer's been constantly saying how much he's enjoying the Championship. I'm enjoying it too, so... You know, it's not the end of the world if we got a bit of cash for it.
Killer?
A couple of things I want to say, and I was vociferous in the pub about this. I think this FFP thing should be completely re-engineered. And I think what it needs to do is I think that all clubs in the Premier League have to almost complete a database of their finances. And I don't think that any transfer should be sanctioned by the Premier League until that they can see that a club is complying with FFP. So I think let's get this nipped in the bud and all this retrospective. We've had a look. It was the accounts from 2 years ago. Blah, blah, blah. If we're going to be serious about this, you've got to put all of your cash into a spreadsheet, ins, outs, whatever, and you've got to be completely transparent and you've got to be open to an audit that can be done at any time. And you should then be told, as the transfer window comes in, this is how much you've got to spend. And if it's over that, you will not be able to sanction that deal until another player has officially been sold. So I think we can get away with all this nebulous element of FFP. I think we can have clarity around it. And what we should have, if we should have a scalable table that says that if you go above 10%, 5%, 15%, here's the incremental points deduction. So so I think we can do away with it. With regards to Everton, I mean, it's a difficult one because we're talking about the law. How can you prove in law that because you exceeded FFP, that would have absolutely guaranteed to have actually meant that you performed better on the pitch? Now, of course, it's civil law, which means the onus is less. Civil law is on the balance of probabilities. So actually, there might be a good argument for Leicester City. The thing that just annoys you, though, doesn't it? And I think it's the point that you're getting at, Tim, is even if we were to get 50 million out of court, the fact remains the damage has been done. We're down, aren't we?
Yeah.
you know, that's the thing. We've got no Madison. We've got no Barnes. We've got no Tielemans. I know there's an argument to say you might have lost them anyway. But you're down. Your reputation as a Premier League team has gone. That's the annoying thing. The Premier League, as with a lot of things, because they're getting a hell of a lot wrong at the minute, I think they've just got to wrestle this one and they've got to get it down on the ground. They've got to hold it down and there's got to be complete transparency.
I mean, the other thing I'd say, I think that's very well said, Killer, but I think the other thing to consider here is, you know, FFP was allegedly brought in to try and like give a slightly more level playing field in the game, and actually it doesn't do that at all.
It doesn't. The big
teams still have the most money to spend, and the little teams are unable to catch up. So actually, what FFP does is exactly the opposite of what it was believed to be meant to do. And is there not an argument to say if an owner wants to come in and buy a football club and spend a whole load of money? What the Premier League should be doing is getting a much more robust and better fit and proper person as an owner act, rather than allowing countries to buy clubs, which should never happen, and allow a rich owner to spend as much money as they like. So actually, Luton Town could come in with a billionaire owner and take over the league if that's what happens.
I completely agree with you, Norm. It's so stupid. You may as well just scrap it. I think, again, if you asked 100 Premier League fans and said, right, you can either A, get rid of FFP, but B, actually, here's the thing I would like to see go. I would like to see agents' fees go. I would like to see that an agent can only earn a fixed amount on a deal. I think is actually a much better idea. And I think from a football fan's point of view, what these agents are earning, not even kicking balls, by the way. I mean, I get the fact, these top pros are earning £500,000 a week. I get it because they're brilliant. What's the agent doing for that? Getting 10% of the salary. And they're getting like, I mean, Nicholas Anelka's brother, who was his agent, allegedly earned more money than Nicholas Anelka did. I mean, how can that be right?
Says more about Nicholas Anelka than the agent, though. It really does, doesn't it? Just on one point you made, Norm, on that, and we'll close the Everton one down. But I think Burnley's argument is also quite a strong one. So, to your point about Everton perhaps bunging us 40 million, they might have to bum Burnley that as well, because Burnley finished third bottom the year before. So when that covers this period as well. So I think Burnley would have pretty much exactly the same argument that we had. We finished third bottom. That would have been Everton, you know, in their season as well. So,
well, would it have been?
Well, there were Leeds finished above Burnley and then Everton. So, I mean, what I'm basically saying is, if you know, if you're, and there is a precedent here because if I'm right here. The Carlos Tevez affair. I think West Ham did pay Sheffield United, didn't they? And the year.
Yeah, there's been a few actually. There's been a few out. Of course, I tell you what. If you're an Everton fan, you're moving into a new stadium, aren't you? If all of a sudden, let's just imagine conceivably. I agree with you, Tim. I don't think they will go down. But you mentioned Luton. All of a sudden, I think if you're an Everton fan, Luton Town might just be keeping you awake now. Because all of a sudden you're thinking this isn't three certs to go down. This could now be three from four. And sometimes when teams, if you notice, when they take a points deduction, sometimes it takes the steam out of them a little bit. It kind of like means they struggle to bounce back. Just imagine conceivably if Everton had to pay out 60, 70, 80 million in comp. They're moving into a new ground and they went down.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. I mean, that could just be them finished, couldn't it?
Well, I tell you what, I read something interesting over the weekend, and it's because I kind of thought, a bit like Norm said, as things been massaged here, that actually if Everton have had a good start, then this comes out, and guess what? You know, they can probably swallow a 10-point deduction, and I think they probably will. I think they will stay up. Yes. Having said that, I saw a projection over the weekend. If they do as well as they have done so far, and then they obviously have to swallow the 10-point deduction, they will end up on 34 points only. And only one team has survived on 34 points. Wow. So that surprised me, I have to say. That surprised me. I'm not convinced Luton's little magic run's going to continue. But anyway, there we go. I hope the club fight it, Norm.
I do. But I think the other thing here is I'd almost stake my life on the fact that they won't, the 10 points won't remain in place. It won't be 10 points by the end of Christmas. By the time they've had the appeal and stuff, they'll probably get a small points penalty.
And suspended, that's the favourite one. Yeah, they love suspending things.
They do, but I suspect it won't be 10 points, which I think is a shame. Because if I was Everton, I genuinely would be stomaching this, thinking, if we don't, you know, if this... We accept this. That does set a precedent. Then teams like Man City and Chelsea really could find themselves in the third division, or rather, non-league football. But we'll see. Tim, would you mind if I just very briefly change the subject here?
Go for it. Is it away from football?
No, of course it's not away from football. And it's actually still linked to Everton. I just want very briefly...
the Everton podcast continues.
Yeah, well, I want very briefly to discuss Garnacho's goal against them yesterday, which has been... I mean, it was, don't get me wrong, better than Rooney's. I do agree. However, I would like to suggest that in all... absolutely, mate.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say
it. Muzzy is its goal against Grimsby, and I've watched it today. Was better than Garnacho's. And everyone talking about, oh, this is the best overhead kick ever. I am telling you, everyone, Grimsby versus Leicester, just Google Muzzy is its goal versus Grimsby. And genuinely tell me, email in, if that was not better than Garnacho. So I don't think Garnacho wasn't fit to lace Muzzy as its boots. And it was against Grimsby. Come on. That's a cold Blundell Park. I mean, it was pouring with rain. It was horrible. Yeah. But the goal was magic.
There you go, folks. If you want to email Norm, it's leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. Keep the emails coming. It's always entertaining. Let's get back to the present day. Double game week killer. It's the return of the right honourable Jamie Vardy to Hillsborough.
Yeah. We've got what appears to be a fairly straightforward game and what could potentially be a really, really tricky one, but we'll stick to Sheffield Wednesday. He'll no doubt get a very, very warm reception because obviously they love it when their own players go and play for other clubs.
Is it the first? Do you know? I couldn't find out. Is it the first time he's gone back playing for us? I've got a feeling it is, but I'm kind of thinking, well, that's a long time. And we have sort of crossed over with them, haven't we?
I think it is.
Good question.
You think it is, Norm? Yeah, Norm tends to know this sort of stuff. Let's pretend it is, because it's more fun.
Yeah. Vardy back at Sheffield Wednesday. They're having a horrible season, aren't they? Absolutely top to bottom, horrible season. So you would imagine that we're going to go there, hot favourites. We tend to be, well, we've been far more effective away from home. Easy to say. I just cannot see this being anything other than a straightforward win.
I always panic, Norm, when there's a team that's lost pretty much every single game. I always worry about it because I think we've got to beat them because everyone's beating them. Everyone's getting 3 points there. If you don't get 3 points there, you've really missed out.
Yeah, I think... I mean, they're shocking, aren't they? And I think it's almost deserved after the way they treated their manager last season. You've always got to be a bit concerned, haven't you? Because it's just like one of those games. It absolutely is a certain victory. But therefore, there's always the danger you slip up. But I think they've been so poor this season that I'm with Killer. I really can't see us slipping up here. I'm not saying we're going to score five or six at all, but I think we should have more than enough for them. But kind of felt that against QPR a little bit as well. So we have got to be careful, but yeah, I can't see anything other than the Leicester win.
And then that was a battle of the tie owners, of course. Slight differences in their ownership, yeah. I think it's fair to say. Probably the most and least popular owners in the country, I would think. And then, Killer, as you've already mentioned, West Brom away looks like a right banana skin, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and of course, you know, what does irk you is the fact that we've played two good sides and we've lost to them. That's going to be a real test for us. And I think to some extent, it will define whether or not Leicester City are flat track bullies, whether or not actually we're going to go up and we're going to win the league just because the vast majority of the league are a bit poor, or whether or not, because it does look like West Brom are probably going to be around the top six, whether or not actually we are good enough to be able to beat our closest rivals as well. I think that game will give us a far better insight into that, Tim.
Yeah, West Brom, decent form. Won 4 out the last 5. Just briefly, Norm, on it's kind of becoming a pointless exercise trying to pick his team, although that's settled down a bit recently. Do you think generally, though, he might go a bit weaker against Wednesday to go a bit stronger against West Brom? I mean, I hope he doesn't do this emotionally, but the obvious way of doing that is maybe playing Cannon against Wednesday to start and then Vardy against West Brom.
I think he'll make changes. So,
anything you think he might do?
It is pointless guessing, isn't it? I think, I mean, obviously Winks will come back in. I think he'll keep Ndidi in the side because he needs to get his fitness back up. Maybe make a change in defence. You know, it could perhaps time to give Ricardo a rest. You know, he could play Choudhury right back and give Ricardo a rest. I think he will play Vardy for half a game, so I don't think he's going to worry. Maybe give one of the wingers a chance. I'd like to see Tom Cannon come in, but not from the start. So I would imagine he'll make. I don't want to predict where, but I'm sure he'll make 4 or 5 changes. But I think more because he's got a game at lunchtime on Saturday rather than the fact it's Sheffield Wednesday. I think it's, you know, he's changed players, whoever we've played, and therefore I'm sure it's something he will do. And I think that would make sense because I would want our strong. I think West Brom is a tough game. They seem to be coming into a bit of form, and they were much better than Ipswich over this weekend. They really did do a job on them. So it is a bit of a banana skin West Brom away, and I would like to see our strongest team played for that. And if that means just resting 2 or 3 players, then you know, so be it.
Right then, guys. Predictor, double week predictor. So last week we all forecast wins against Watford, but we didn't get the score right, any of us. So refresh you after a couple of weeks away. Norm leading the pack on 17, Killer and myself on 14. Killer, couple of predictions from you then. Sheffield Wednesday and West Brom.
Okay, I'm going to go Sheffield Wednesday 0, Leicester City 2.
That's quite modest, yeah.
And I'm going to go for West Bromwich Albion 1, Leicester City 2.
Okay, Norm.
I'm going to go 3-0 against Wednesday and 2-1 against West Brom to Leicester, obviously.
Okay, I'm going to go 3-0 against Wednesday and I'm going to go 2-2 against West Brom. I still think that would be two decent results, actually, if that happens. Final thoughts, Killer?
We don't draw, Tim.
We don't draw. It's very true, isn't it? I mean, Wednesday...
You keep predicting a draw.
Yes, that's true, actually.
Well, a couple of times you have. Maybe, we don't draw, do we?
Maybe I should have a quick look at the league table now. Fair point. Norm, final thoughts?
We don't draw, Tim. So stop. I mean, it's like me in a Premier League season when we don't win. Yeah, we'll win. It's Man City away. Yeah, we'll probably win 3-0. Like, yeah, it's a season we're not going to draw all season. Yeah, 2-2.
Can you just imagine for a second, Tim? just imagine your score prediction, and we actually teed this up. Went right, okay, Tim. Just come out to get your score prediction, but let's just remind ourselves: played 17. 114, lost 3, drawn 0. Tim, prediction? 2-2.
the great thing about editing this show, I can put this bit of it back in next week when we draw.
And the great thing about editing this show, listeners, is that he doesn't know how to edit it. So it doesn't get edited. It's as live.
As live. That's it, folks.
Which is why Leicester City played the Stags.
And I was just about to say, Killer, we're all off to find out why a hornet would be represented by a moose. Catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.